Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Full Press Minnesota Wild Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Tillery. It is a beautiful Monday morning, and we've got a lot to talk about here about the Minnesota Wild. Now, the weekend was pretty busy for the Wild. Either way, just about every single game on the schedule is a really important game for the Wild at this point. We talked about the loss against the Flyers, 4-5 in shootouts on Thursday. Don't really need to take a look at that anymore, but we're going to move on to Saturday's match against the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, the Wild won 3-1, and it was one where overall, the team looked pretty flat until about the 10-minute mark of the third period. Now, the Wild did end up winning, and the game didn't go to overtime, which has kind of been our trademark this season. But either way, the Wild had some good outings here. Freddie Gaudreau scores in this one, Ryan Hartman scores, and Ryan Reeves scores, and also went viral, in case you missed it, for taking way too big of a whiff of smelling salts and almost throwing up on the sideline. It is hilarious. If you haven't seen that clip, go ahead and search it up for yourself. It was a great clip either way. So Ryan Reeves has definitely been trending because of that, but we've got a lot to talk about. I found some articles here as well as just some Twitter stuff, so we'll talk about that starting off. I do want to mention tonight that we do play at 7 o'clock again. That is the Seattle Kraken game. It's going to be a big one, as the Kraken are one of the better playoff teams left in the NHL standings. Overall, we've got tough games down the stretch. I mean, there's 9 games left, and 6 of the 9 games feel like playoff games. I mean, there's going to be some tough teams. And let's take a look at that just so you guys get an idea of where we're at. The Minnesota Wild have to play the Kraken today. Then Wednesday, they take on the Avalanche. Those aren't easy games by any stretch. And then a back-to-back game series against the Golden Knights on the 1st and the 3rd. Doesn't get any easier there. We got the Penguins, then the Blues, the Blackhawks, the Jets, and the Predators. And I know that we beat the Blues pretty bad a couple weeks ago, but overall, since losing to us and getting Jordan Binnington suspended, the team hasn't lost. They're 4-0-1 down that stretch. They're really, really a talented team right now. And I know that it's easy to overlook certain teams, but the Wild have to continue to still play. They're still playing without their best player. And that's really an issue. You know, you never know when that's going to come back to bite you. Hopefully it doesn't, and everything's good. But I do want to say, let's kick it off and get into one of these articles here. I pulled up an article, actually, about Philip Gustafson. He's had an incredible season, so I want to read you a little bit about that. Philip Gustafson has been something else for the Minnesota Wild this season. Coming in as a once highly regarded goaltending prospect in the trade return for the Ottawa Senators, the expectations several months ago were just someone that can adequately support Marc-Andre Fleury as the backup. Well, it turns out he took over the starting role and is now having one of the best seasons in Wild history from a goaltender. With his well-deserved .932 save percentage and 2.01 goals against average, both being second-best markers in the entire NHL, he has burst onto the scene as one of the best at just 24 years old. Minnesota is getting buckets of wins with him in between the pipes, and even though it was a little nerve-wracking at times, they got another one against the Chicago Blackhawks on Sunday afternoon. The recent streak of not playing so well against teams at the bottom of the standings, they lost in a shootout to the Flyers the game before, has not fazed Gustafson one bit and believes that his team just welcomes the challenge for better teams, like when he stood on his head against the Devils last week. The New Jersey game we played last week was a really good team, he said, of Tuesday's 47-save win. It's weird, it's like we play a little better against better teams, so I think we should be fine on Monday against Seattle. I think we're going to get our groove back and get to the right mindset. The Wild have a tough stretch of games to close out the regular season, with 6 of their 9 remaining games against teams that are currently in a playoff spot, and that includes back-to-back games against the Vegas Golden Knights, a team that's won 8 of their last 10, facing the Colorado Avalanche, and even the non-playoff teams include the ever-annoying St. Louis Blues and Nashville Predators, two teams that are not backing down. Ever-annoying is the perfect way to describe both those teams, but either way, they are currently listed in first place in the Central Division, but who knows how long that'll be. It is good that Gustafson's feeling ready and confident to take on any team in the world, as he credits the team in front of him for that. Now, I don't mean to just read verbatim here from articles, but I thought that was written really, really well, and seeing Gustafson's confidence level has been massive, especially with this next report coming up. Report from Michael Russo here. Kirill Kaprizov not close to returning for the Wild. Kirill Kaprizov has been out since March 8th with a lower body injury here. The Minnesota Wild continue to stay in the thick of the Central Division playoff race, but they're doing that without Kirill Kaprizov. According to The Athletic's Michael Russo, Kaprizov still isn't skating after suffering a lower body injury on March 8th. Russo also says that Kaprizov isn't even expecting to make the next road trip to even practice. The Wild have done fine since Kaprizov limped off the ice in Winnipeg, posting a 4-1-2 record in those 7 games, with the lone regulation loss coming in the NHL-leading Boston Bruins. Minnesota has also scored 30 goals in those games after scoring 31 goals in the 14 games prior to Kaprizov's injury. A lot of other players have picked up the slack for the Wild, especially with 21-year-old Matt Boldy, who has scored 8 goals and 4 assists since Kaprizov went down. With 91 points, the Wild are virtually a lock to make the playoffs, sitting 11 points ahead of the Nashville Predators with 10 games of play, but they also sit 1 point behind the Dallas Stars for first place in the Central Division, and 1 point ahead of the Colorado Avalanche, who are 8-2-0 in their last 10 games. Kaprizov was originally supposed to come back in a 3-4 week timeline, but it's looking like his return will be on the back end of that time frame. Whenever their superstar does hit the ice, it will be a welcoming return for a team that's looking for its first playoff series win since 2015. Now, I don't mean to say all that to be negative or pessimistic or anything like that, but I was worried when I saw this report. Kaprizov coming back was the icing on the cake for the good team that already is the Minnesota Wild. It's not to say that we're not going to win, especially with Filip Gustavsson saying they play better against good teams. That's a great thing to have going to the playoffs. But having another great player like Kaprizov back on the ice, one of the best players in the NHL, helps you out a little bit, to say the least. Matt Boldy's been really on a hot streak. Ryan Hartman stepped up. A couple of different guys have stepped up. But is it going to be enough when we hit the playoffs? That's what I'm a little worried about. And I know that Kaprizov is spectacular and the team has been great without him, but I'll take him back any day of the week as soon as possible. Now, I do want to talk a little bit about Twitter talk here. The Seattle Kraken do play tonight, so we'll talk about that game a little bit more tomorrow. We'll talk some recap on that. But starting things off, we got a tweet from @TrizKhalifa here, and it says, are the Minnesota Wild better without all-star forward Kirill Kaprizov? There is a reply here I also want to mention from @Thu360, saying, I think the Wild are collectively playing harder together without the best player in the league. That's a good way to describe it. Playing harder, but not... I mean, they are playing better hockey. Are they a better team without Kaprizov? I don't think so. Are they playing harder? I do think so. I think the team understands it has to be less one-dimensional. And it's not to say that you ever want to put a team in a box and be like, all right, this guy has to be your best player. He has to do the dirty work for the team, get things going. But I think Minnesota kind of was a victim mentality behind that, saying like, you know what, this guy will do it. We don't have to take care of it. It's not our role. Minnesota has now understood their role. Everyone on the team understands what they have to do. They all have to collectively band together to win playoff games. And it's just not going to happen that way if you're going to be sitting back watching for Kaprizov. I think with Matt Boldy heating it up, Ryan Hartman stepping up, Ryan Reeves, all these guys that are really contributing, I mean, you see that because they understand how good Kaprizov is. When you think about it, are they a better team? I don't think so. Are they playing better right now? Yes. But it doesn't make them better without him. They are playing better without him on the ice right now, but I don't think that makes them a better team without him. Because I think there's still a perfectly good scenario where he works his way back into the ice, he's a superstar, the rest of the team is playing this good, and the Wild are playoff favorites. I think that's all possible. It's going to depend on that timetable for the return. We'll see what happens with Kaprizov. But that was the first tweet I wanted to talk about. Next one here. This tweet comes from @MinnesotaSports. The last one we're going to talk about here today. The Minnesota Wild played a meaningless game against one of the worst teams in the league without their star players and filled the stadium past capacity. On 325, it was just 2 days ago here, the Minnesota Wild full capacity plus with 19,312. That's 107.5% capacity. Minnesota Wild fans are showing up and showing out, and we're going to need it every step of the way. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Full Press Minnesota Wild Podcast. Tomorrow, we'll talk about the Seattle Kraken recap, as well as a couple other things going on with the team. I'm so grateful for you listening. If you like the show, go ahead and rate it and consider subscribing wherever you get your podcasts at. Thank you so much, and go Wild.